from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run, Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon. It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Oh, my goodness. Is this on? Does this work? I think it does. Let me smack it.
I hear you, man.
Yeah, it hit. Sean Sears hears me. Sean is here, our vaunted producer of Hit and Run. I, Matt Spiegel, am here. Our associate producer, Ruben Spiegel, is here in the house. And now all we need is you. Hopefully you are here. Let's talk baseball on a special hot stove edition of Hit and Run. I want to thank the Bears for playing on Thursday night. I want to thank Olin Krutz and Mully and Pat Manley for understandably demanding a Sunday morning off from a Bears pregame show, which need not exist since, as I mentioned, the Bears already played on Thursday night. I want to thank Mitch Rosen and Ryan Porth for having the idea. Hey, guy, let's let that Spiegel guy talk. He's bursting with baseball thoughts and information because the baseball season, she just recently ended. But goodness, the hot stove season is here, and both teams in this unique two-team town have made a lot of news with a lot of different stuff. You got front office hires for the White Sox, as you know. Some coaching staff hires. Grady Sizemore, come on down. Is that amazing?
Him, Jason Bourgeois. I was like, is this like a 04 like highlight reel of coaches here?
Marcus Thames. I mean, goodness. I will forever think of Grady Sizemore as part of a remarkable trade. Bartolo Colon from Cleveland to Montreal for Grady Sizemore, Cliff Lee, and Brandon Phillips. How'd that one work out for Cleveland? Very, very well. Extremely well. Anyway, that's not the headline of the week, obviously. The week includes Craig Counsell becoming the brand new Cubs manager. He'll be introduced tomorrow at Wrigley Field press conference at 10 o'clock. Our Bernstein and Holmes will be there live broadcasting. Counsell expected to walk on down the hall and join them live on the air at some point. And I will be there. Danny Parkins and I both heading over to the press conference tomorrow. So we'll have thoughts on all of that when we convene for the regular Monday show tomorrow. But yeah, Counsell in and David Ross out is certainly the biggest baseball news of the week. And we will have time to process it all. And it really goes hand in hand with the Jason Benetti departure from the White Sox. I mean, it's massive news with lots of emotional swings for you, the Cub fan, and you, the Sox fan. Goodness, it's a crazy week. And it is a week when, if you know any of these people, even tangentially, but, you know, personally, you're calling and texting everybody. Calling and texting. And that was the thing for me. Reaching out to colleagues or former players or former coaches and being like, oh my God, can you help me process this David Ross, Craig Counsell stuff? Because that was a lot to process. And then when it's Benetti, if you're me, you're reaching out to Jason. You're reaching out to friends in the play-by-play community. You're trying to process this and talking about it. I mean, my bandmate Len Casper, unavailable to come on as he works for another station, but he and I talking a lot. this week, trying to kind of sort through everything that has gone on. I imagine you amongst your Sox fan friends and family talking about the Benetti departure, processing that. What does that mean? What does it say about the organization? All of that. And processing the managerial hire, right? Well, now we get to do it together. We get to do all of that together. And I'm excited to do so. Your phone calls and your texts are not merely welcome. They're elemental to the very completion of the broadcast at 312-644-6767. And as always, we are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And you can text me, you can tweet me at MattSpiegel670. I've got a special assignment for you, the texter and the tweeter, a little bit later in this first segment. I mentioned, tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. for Craig Counsell's introductory press conference. Bernstein and Holmes will be part of the team coverage, broadcasting live at Wrigley from 10 to 2, joined by Counsell and others. That's all tomorrow on 670. The Score is sponsored by your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. By the way, if you're looking for something to do a little bit later in the day, like, I don't know, a little less than 3 hours from now, and you would like to go and hang out and see some football, but see some great people talking football, why don't you join Chris Tannehill and Dave Wanstead for the Four Winds Football Forecast live in person at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. That's today, Eastern Time, noon. So if you're driving from Chicagoland, you got to get there as if your target was 11. But if you're already there, obviously noon is the time, and you know that. Noon to 1:30 Eastern. It's a free event. You can meet Wani, who is the best. Get an autograph and a photo with Coach and hang out with him for the start of the NFL games. The winning never stops at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, your entertainment escape. Go be a crowd for Tanny and Wani. That is awesome. Coming up later on this show today, Chuck Garfine will join me at 10 o'clock. Chuck from the White Sox Talk podcast. And of course, NBC Sports Chicago was out there in Arizona for the GM meetings. He and Ryan McGuffey are just about the best talking White Sox, breaking down everything that is going on. And there's a lot going on. So we'll talk about everything Chris Getz said. And I want to hear from you guys along the way. How did it feel to have Chris Getz say, I hate my team, or I don't like our team? He's not alone. So that's interesting. We'll talk about that with Chuck. Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic has been all over the Cubs offseason already. He, too, out in Arizona for the GM meetings. He and Patrick Mooney with team coverage at The Athletic, just all over every aspect of this Cubs offseason so far. He will join me at 10:40. And I'll go ahead and promote this now, okay, before we get back to some conversation, some of my thoughts and everything like that. We are living in the space of legitimate Shohei Ohtani dreams. As the Cubs fan base, and really just Chicago baseball people in general, Shohei Ohtani might come here. That he legit might come here. He's the second favorite among the gambling bettors because Cub fans are crazy and have driven that down to where it is. But anyway, there are all over the place, whether it's the anonymous GM sourced by Mark Feinsand at MLB.com earlier in the week, saying that they think the main competition for the Dodgers is going to be the Cubs. Whether it is Bob Nightingale, among a ton of nuggets in the Bob Nightingale column today at USA Today, with this: if Ohtani does not sign with the Los Angeles Dodgers or Angels, some executives predict that he'll end up signing with either the Chicago Cubs or Texas Rangers, even if the San Francisco Giants will offer the most money. So Cubs legit players here. So if we have Ohtani dreams, I think you should lean in and enjoy it. What would it be like to have him here? Here's what I want from you via text or via tweet. Text me your vision of Ohtani as a Cub, a moment in an imagined future game, or a statistical accomplishment that he completes at Wrigley, one of those unique Tungsten O'Doyle-style Ohtani accomplishments at Wrigley. That kind of thing. A moment in an imagined future game or a statistical accomplishment completed at Wrigley. Text it to me all morning. I will gather them. Tweet it at me at MattSpiegel670. We'll do a segment in the 11 o'clock hour where I share those visions of Ohtani.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, right? And I will try to work electricity howls in his face into it while we do visions of Ohtani. That's just for you. The few who might possibly get that very obscure reference. But hey, it's a Sunday morning. I can do what I want. It's fun. Let's go.
It's very fun.
There's
man.
There's a million nuggets in the Nightingale piece. Sean, did you see the Nightingale piece?
I did.
Let me just, like, Tim Anderson could be very welcomed by the Los Angeles Angels, who would convert him to second base. That's one. The Houston Astros are expected to promote Joe Espada, the bench coach, to be their manager on Monday. So that job is out for David Ross. The Milwaukee Brewers, who are strongly considering promoting bench coach Pat Murphy, the former Notre Dame coach, also have their eyes on Mike Schilt if he's not hired by the San Diego Padres. Those are the three jobs that are open: Padres, Astros, and Brewers. I still think the Brewers should go hard for David Ross.
Yeah.
I think that would be entertaining as hell.
Oh, I'd love it.
And give us massive juice in that rivalry for years to come.
Well, I know he also apparently turned down the bench coach job from the Yankees. Supposedly they talked to him and offered it, and he said he wants a manager job, which I don't blame him.
I don't blame him at all. His friend Aaron Boone needs a bench coach as Carlos Mendoza jumped to the Mets to be their manager. So, yes, apparently Ross offered that, but prefers to go right back into managing if he was to take a job this year. He may not take a job this year. The man will get paid handsomely to do as little as he would like, or as much as he would like. My feelings on the Ross hire, I think, are well known. I'm excited for the council era because that guy, I believe, is the absolute standard. I do believe that Craig Council is the best manager in baseball. Now that Terry Francona has retired, due respect to Bruce Bochy, Kevin Cash, Bob Melvin, Dave Roberts, I think would be in my top five. Maybe Alex Cora. I'm pretty sure that that's my top five. But Council is terrific for lots and lots of reasons. And one of them is that he's incredibly smart and thinks like a front office guy while still maintaining the ability to communicate with players and communicate with the public. But he really does think about absolutely everything and will do the most mathematically sound and sensible thing 9 times out of 10. And that is often, if not usually, if not always, the right thing to do. It is. I'll be really interested to see what we end up thinking are the spots where Council should be trusting his gut more often. Because we know what those spots were with David Ross, where he seemed to trust his gut and his knowledge of the players a little bit more so than perhaps the math and what the upstairs folks wanted. While I think Council is a great manager and I'm looking forward to it, I do feel like David Ross was done a little dirty by the Chicago Cubs. I do. And I've talked about it during the week. I wrote about it. It's just the nature of the ruthlessness of the business. If you really are going to do it the way that Jed clearly is doing it and the way that Theo did it. I called it justifiable cruelty in a column that I wrote earlier this week at 670 The Score. You can't deny that it is cruel when dude thought he was going into the final year of his deal, very much a make it or break it situation, and was just pronounced loudly as the manager for the future by both Jed Hoyer and ownership. But they get to do what they want, and they have to live with the consequences. What are the consequences? Well, personally, if you're Jed Hoyer, you've got to know that your friend David Ross, who you have brought in, hates you, absolutely hates you, and might just hate you forever. And a lot of people who love David hate you right now, and they might just hate you forever. How does John Lester feel? Right? Like, how do some of these people who are your friends, but also were your players and are legends and part of the entire fabric of the thing, how do they feel about you? And that's just something you got to deal with on a personal level. And kudos to Jed and Theo before him for doing what they think is best. But I don't want to deny that that is something you have to deal with. And frankly, it's why I shouldn't have that job. I will admit right now, the ability to be that dispassionate and deal with the brutal, cold heart of the industry, not a strength for your boy.
Couldn't do that, man.
Think about it, man.
Cubs con in like a couple months. Like, there's no 2016 Cubs coming, not minus Kyle Hendricks.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, and people will get over it, and people maybe, and people will deal with it, and all of that. But just that personal level. I mean, there is a deeply personal level of friendship and just connection that is damaged irreparably and forever for this stuff. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is that some people who still work for you and with you will be damaged by this stuff personally. And that's what I've wanted to give voice to. I don't know who the players in that clubhouse are who think that their beloved manager was done dirty, but I'm sure that there will be some. You know that there will be some. Some of the coaches that you keep, some of the coaching staffs that you blend together, if anybody in Milwaukee is allowed to leave. Mark Adonaggio, the Brewers owner, said they're all staying. Said that very quickly. That's okay. All right. Well, so we'll see how that all plays out. Now, a lot of that stuff can get smoothed over, upset people, coaches, people in the organization, whatever. Like, wow, I can't believe they did David that way. Are they going to do me that way? I guess it doesn't mean anything when they say family. I guess I should just, you know, be careful about that. Like, I'll cover my ass. Like, those kind of things, those are real. And you have to deal with it. And those things don't necessarily go away. If in 3 months, council does some stuff that makes somebody unhappy, 5 months, he does some stuff in the middle of a season that makes a player unhappy, they're going to have to make sure that there's good communication, that anybody left holding any sort of grudge on David's behalf is dealt with. And if you're Jed, that's an extra level of maintenance with people in the organization, coaches, maybe players, but that'll be up to Craig and his coaches. But you know what I mean? It's just, there's a level of personal discomfort that gets added in here and has to be dealt with. And I will be the guy who tells you that those are going to be real things that have to be dealt with. That said, I get the move. And it's exciting. It's ballsy. And you'll hear from Craig tomorrow and hear from everybody tomorrow. And I assume we'll hear a little bit from Tom Ricketts at some point tomorrow. Know this, the willingness to spend $40 million on a manager is pretty effing rare in baseball. Put it up there with the moment they rebuilt the complex in Mesa to be absolute state of the art in 2013. Put it up there with the revamping of the clubhouse and everything that they did to make the players' facilities in Chicago absolute state of the art. Put it up there with that kind of stuff. Things you don't have to do in terms of expenditure, but things you do because you want to be the best. You want to be the very best and to be thought of as the best. And that makes an impact all across the industry. Man, you tell people, we're willing to do this for a manager, and we will spend the most anyone has ever spent on a manager. And we will be ruthless and remove our guy just because it's time. That signals to everybody that you'll do absolutely everything necessary to be the very best, to win the most games, and to attract the very best. And that will factor in to free agent pursuits. Shohei Ohtani and his agent know about it. They see it. It matters. You are setting an incredibly high standard as a big market behemoth here in the middle of the Midwest. And it's incredibly exciting and impressive. So all of that stuff is in the mix. And I want to talk to you about it, about Ross and Council. We can certainly talk about Benetti as well. And really anything you want in terms of the phone lines right now for this first hour. The White Sox restructuring that's taking place. Everybody's available in trade conversation, including Dylan Cease, just not Luis Robert as of right now. That, according to Bob Nightingale in his column this morning. What should the Cubs do in terms of possible trades for Juan Soto or Pete Alonso and more? All of it is wide open for you at 312-644-6767. In our final hour, you'll hear from Jason Benetti, a portion of the second episode of my podcast, The PBP, that he did this year. If you don't know, I did a podcast about play-by-play and interviewed 15 to 17 different legendary play-by-play people, and Benetti was an absolute favorite. And he was willing to come on a second time after I got a chance to do my three games at Wrigley. You'll hear him dissecting some of my calls because it shows you the level of care and thought and artistry with which this man attacks the job. And it really takes you inside the conversation and the work it takes to be great at play-by-play. I can't believe he's gone. It's incredibly sad that a talent like that, who loves the White Sox, was, in my opinion, slowly, progressively, gradually pushed to find another place to work. Really, really sad. Let's talk about all of it with this special opportunity for Sunday Morning Baseball Conversation. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score.
Untouchables or not?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
There are no untouchables.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670 The Score.
No crying.
You know, I think that he's consistently, year after year after year, they've outperformed expectations, which is really impressive. And listen, it's not a one-man show up there. You know, they've had two really capable people running baseball operations up there. They've done a really good job in Milwaukee. They're like a very worthy rival, you know, and all the things they've done. So I think this, like, making this like Craig Counsell was the whole reason. No, of course not. But I do think, you know, consistently they've outperformed expectations, and that's borne out both with your eyes and when you look at the data.
That's Jed Hoyer talking about Craig Counsell. That was in response to a question asking how much Craig was responsible for within the organization in total. Thought Sahadev Sharma, who's going to join us at 10:40, followed up nicely in that conversation, wondering about how much of the bullpen that Milwaukee has put together and the bullpen excellence that they have found is due to Craig as a manager being part of the planning and the thought process. Want to get deeper into that and other stuff with Sahadev when he joins us again in an hour and 10 minutes. But right now, it's you and me talking baseball on a Sunday morning. Let's go! 670 The Score is where you are. We go to Nick on the north side. You will kick us off with the phone calls this morning. What do you say, Nick?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's funny you mentioned the bullpen, because that's kind of what I was going to ask you, is that, you know, obviously this last season with the Cubs, a lot of the turmoil in the bullpen led to a lot of losses, and Counsell had a lot of big arms in his bullpen. I wonder, from your perspective, what technically can Council bring to the Cubs from the bullpen perspective, whether it is roster construction, whether it is day-to-day scenario planning? What does he do that Ross didn't do that either short-term or long-term will be evident within the bullpen?
It's a great question. To the best of my knowledge as it stands right now, and we'll learn more as we go, he's going to serve the matchup completely. So now what does that mean? He's going to serve the matchup based on swing plane versus pitch tunnel. Like, does he, is that what he uses predominantly, what the Brewers use predominantly? Or do they use, you know, different measurables? Like, how do they, what do they look at here? Obviously, you know, looking at splits and saying, oh, this guy's bad against lefties, I will bring in a lefty. That is just one piece of the puzzle now. There's a million different aspects that you can use. I look forward to him being asked that tomorrow. What do you look at in terms of bullpen matchups? What matters the most? I know some orgs look at exactly what I just said, swing plane versus the shape of a pitch, you know? Does he love that? Does he serve that? And that can be independent, of course, of handedness. So in terms of matchups, he seems to be really good at that. The other thing that you're going to figure out is that touch of, like, is a guy ready to go or not? Does a guy seem tired? Do I continue to trust somebody? There were definitely times this year where I thought David Ross leaned on, say, Mark Leiter Jr. more than I would have by then. It was like, oh God, Leiter Jr., he hasn't been good for a week and a half. What the hell's going on? Or Julian Merriweather was great. It's like, why isn't Julian Merriweather in the highest possible leverage? And eventually he was. Those decisions of when to elevate guys to certain matchups and when to reduce guys to other matchups. Once the game gets going, that's up to a manager and a pitching coach. That's their feel. The front office is upstairs going crazy, thinking, he should do this, he should do that. I wouldn't do that. Damn it. And they can't talk to him, and it's the manager's job. So Council's obviously been really good at that stuff. It's a feel for in-game decisions, and I think a feel for the exact usage of particular style arms, and then the exact factors that he thinks are the most important in a matchup. That's my early answer on that. Let's go to Phil in Lombard on 670 The Score. Good morning, Phil. You're on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. What's up?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I just think we need to move forward here, quit talking about David Ross, and start talking about Craig Council and the Cubs moving forward.
Okay.
You know, this is a business. This is a business, and Jed made a decision regarding what he thought was best for the Cubs being successful moving forward. You cannot let emotion and sentimental attachments play into these decisions. That is what winning organizations do. David Ross was given a golden opportunity to be the manager of the Cubs with zero experience. I mean, really the opportunity of a lifetime. In the end, he did not meet their expectations, and they had that opportunity to upgrade the organization, and Jed didn't hesitate.
Phil, I think all of that is understandable and true. I myself have needed a few days to process the thing, and this is my first chance to do this show solo to what is often a different audience, so I wanted to voice what I myself have been processing and let you in on the fact that a lot of other people have been doing the same thing. So it's not a simple binary, okay, hey, great, we moved past it. I mean, maybe it is for some people who are outside the sphere a little bit, but I'm just letting you know what some of the realities are. That said, of course, let's move on. Do you have a point you'd like to make about the future and moving on as well, about Council?
I think this was an opportunity. I mean, I agree with I think the consensus, he's probably a top, you know, one or two managers in baseball. You know, and again, a bigger, you know, a tremendous upgrade to David Ross. You know, like I said, Ross, again, with zero experience.
Yeah.
You know, went in there, you know.
I hear you, Phil. Thank you, buddy. You've made the point. Absolutely. The news of him not meeting their expectations is brand new as of Monday morning. A month ago, he had met their expectations. Now, all of a sudden, he is not. That is a big change. Because they didn't tell you that. But that's the clear subtext of this. Just in case anybody was wondering, the very clear subtext is you're not as good as this guy. Live with that forever. Okay, thank you. And there's an emotional part of that too. Hey, you're not as good as this guy. Oof. It's tough, man. So that part is tough. But that part is undeniably how they feel. Absolutely. But he didn't really let you in on that stuff until Monday morning. Let us talk to Rich in Logan Square on 670 The Score on Hit and Run. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Just a quick question. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on a proposed trade.
Okay.
Do you think there could be a matchup between the Cubs and the White Sox this offseason? In my opinion, you know, just from what I've read, the Cubs desperately need offense. The White Sox desperately need pitching. Could you potentially see a trade, maybe the White Sox sending Eloy Jimenez to the Cubs, who I think would be a great offensive addition, for one of their young arms, maybe Ben Brown or Caleb Horton or Caleb Killian, one of those guys? I'll hang up and listen to your response on that.
All right. Thanks, man. Cade Horton. Yeah, no chance in hell for Cade Horton.
Absolutely
for anybody.
Absolutely not.
I believe Cade Horton is going absolutely no place. Just know this as the young names get mentioned, and they will be named. Caleb Killian had a taste in the big leagues. Greatly unimpressive. Hayden Wesneski, a taste in the big leagues. Still a bunch of upside there, in my opinion. Be interested to know what other organizations think about him. Banished to the bullpen, some utility there, but still a lot of upside as a starter. Ben Brown, super intriguing. Legit MLB arm with a legit MLB pitch or two, and has not shown anything in the big leagues yet, which actually keeps his value higher than Wesneski, because you can dream of what it might look like. Who else? Javier Assad. Incredible utility shown between starting and the bullpen. A ton of value for Javier Assad, in my opinion. And an interesting moment where you could make a choice to sell high if you believe that there's limitations on him. I like Assad. Jordan Wicks has shown you he's a legit he's a legit major league starter. The changeup is awesome. It makes the other pitches play up. He has shown an ability to adjust when people are sitting on the changeup. I personally would not trade Jordan Wicks.
He's just smart, man. He's a gamer.
He's smart as hell. He prepares. He's got a really healthy arm. To me, that's my number four starter. That's my locked and loaded number four starter this year, or number five starter if they upgrade significantly on the front end. Cade Horton is as close as you have had in a long time to the next Kerry Wood. Do not trade Cade Horton. Just don't. You know what I was interested in last year was bringing him up to maybe be a closer at the end of your season as you were desperately trying to solve the bullpen issues. I was able to bring that up to Carter Hawkins at Wrigley one day when Danny and I were there. We were hosting and we were on the air at Gallagher Way. And I said, Carter, what about, hear me out, Cade Horton as a closer down the stretch? And he laughed and he said, what, have you been talking to Jed?
No way.
Oh, dude. Apparently Jed was the guy who sits around and dreams of that and was throwing it out in their meetings or every day saying, why not Cade Horton? Why not bring him up? Like, give him to Rossi. Let him be that guy. Let him be. Hey, we could use him in short innings and use him in high leverage. That was Jed.
I love that.
He was thinking about, so do I, because it makes all the sense in the world. I love that I bring it up to Carter. He's like, what are you? Who are you, Jed? They're not touching Cade Horton in trade. Eloy Jimenez. What's Eloy making this year? 18? Can you look up on SpotTrack, see what he's making? I know Moncada is making 24.
All their contracts go up.
Yeah, this is a jump. This is a year of a jump to do it. Here, I've got it right here. You know, it's you don't want Eloy. What is it? At 18 mil, something like that? Tell me what you got. Because
it looks like he's got, so he's like 13, but there's escalators here. So really, it's going to be like a 29. Oh my gosh, this is so goofy the way they did this.
Eloy is at, sorry. Oh no, so it's down. So Eloy's at 13.
It's almost 14.
So it's about 14 mil for this year. So that's not too bad. Then there are the club options and 25 and 26. Would I consider Eloy for the Cubs? No. So that's a straight DH. And if you're going to go straight DH, I think you want to be more efficient that way, either with a better player that you trade for, like Juan Soto or somebody like that, obviously, although it would cost you a lot more, or you're going to go cheap and keep Christopher Morel as your straight DH.
That's the way I would play it.
Yeah. So no. I'm a big old no, but thank you for the call. This is Nancy on 670 The Score. Nancy, you're on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're doing this show today. It's so nice to have baseball talk in the middle of football season.
Yeah, it feels good. It's always a breath of fresh air. I agree.
Yeah, and your associate producer sounds like a very nice young man.
He is. Thank you. I'm glad that he's doing his job well and coming off nice.
Yes. Well, my thought is that, in general, I think the Craig Council hire is a good move, but I can't help but being concerned about the fact that his carrying card is that he does great things with fewer resources.
Yes.
And I hope that's not one of the things the Cubs were looking at with this hire. I know you said earlier that this should get the Cubs going out and get what they need in free agency, and I hope that's true instead of thinking they can go on the cheap now that they have this great manager.
It's a great question, and it's an understandable thought. Here's my thought on it, Nancy. I think it does not change their spending desires one iota. I legitimately think it does not affect what they want to do. There's some hard math, hard and fast math here, which is that the competitive balance tax, which is the de facto luxury tax, has three separate tiers. And organizations like the Cubs, who are in a win-now mode, will willingly go above certain tiers and pay the penalties that it presents. I think the Cubs were planning to go at or above the first level of the competitive balance tax this year, no matter what, whether it was David Ross or Craig Council. And I think they will still be willing to do that at the very least. That means there's probably $50 million to spend to add onto payroll, if we are to believe what SpotTrack and Above the Cap, some of these sites have to say. Now, will they go above the second level of the tax? Maybe right now in a win now mode, as long as they can get down below that second level like next year. Whatever it is, you don't want to be 3 years in a row above those levels, because that's when the penalties get massive. That's when you're paying 50% extra on top of everything that you're spending. Now, will they be willing to do that if income is rising, if tickets, if they're selling out every game and they're making more as the years to come? What if they had Shohei Ohtani and all of a sudden Japanese marketing has raised the income level because they've got fans from Japan flying in to stay at the Hotel Zachary, and they're selling an Ohtani package for Tokyo to Chicago, and they're tying it in with Japanese sponsors and all those money, that money. And Shohei Ohtani Cubs jerseys are flying off the shelves in Japan and all around the world.
Marquee subscriptions going up.
Marquee subscriptions as a standalone are suddenly being bought in Asia by the hundreds of thousands, you know, then are they willing to stay above levels of the competitive balance tax in the future? Maybe. But a manager doesn't do that. A manager doesn't have that effect. Now, those factors are things to consider when we're talking about Ohtani and stratospheric levels to begin with. But I think what is most likely happening here is that with Council now, you are more attractive. So that means that maybe somebody will consider you a little bit more because Council's there, and you'll be able to get them in a way that you hadn't expected, that kind of thing. But I don't think they're going to go on the cheap. I think they're going to do what they were planning to do. I'll be surprised if they add anything less than $50 million to where they stand as of now. I'll ask Sahadev Sharma the exact question in 1 hour, but I would be surprised if they add anything less than $50 million to where they are right now. And if it's 40 or 45 because of some accounting error that these websites have made that doesn't fit what they know, then I ask you to cut me some slack. It is Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. This is Hit and Run. White Sox talk with Chuck Garfine at the top of the hour, but more of your calls next on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yeah, it's certainly case to case. We're getting to know the landscape when it comes to both trades and free agency right now. And then, you know, you attack the offseason that way. It could be an offseason where trades are the best way to improve the organization. It also could be a combination of free agents in trade. So, that's why we're here at the GM meetings to figure out what the landscape is.
That is Chris Getz, the new boss of the White Sox. And let me say this. Do you have the shorty where he says, I don't like our team? Sean, go ahead and play that when you get a chance. Because I'll say this. Overall, Getz's comments, they made me feel, if anything, better, not worse, as a White Sox fan. My goodness. Because how could you watch that team and like that team?
I don't like our team.
He doesn't like the team. Says it's not a well-rounded team. He is correct. That man is correct. Wait, Sean, where is the associate producer?
He'd take a quick bathroom break.
That is unacceptable. That is unacceptable. He just texted me asking if he could have an hour off.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
He's working hard back here, man.
I don't know. But, you know, but he's doing that. He's texting me from the bathroom. I'm going to text him back. Get back in here. I need you now. Need you until 10. Unbelievable. These kids today. My goodness. He thought he could just start then. Just start his break now. It's unbelievable. I'd like to apologize to everybody. Stan and Bellwood, you're on 670 The Score. I'd like to apologize for the associate producer thinking that
that's
he could just...
Right. I'm with him. When you got to go, you got to go, Steve.
Yeah, all right. There he is. Now he's back. Okay, Stan, what you got, man? How are you? Good morning.
Hey, likewise. Good morning. Nice diversion today. You know, we always like talking about baseball at every opportunity.
Yep, it's the best conversational sport of all time, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hey, listen, of the two major stories in Chicago this past week, the Craig Counsell to the Cubs resonated far more with me than the Benetti exit. The very first thing that I thought when I heard the news as a Sox fan is, you know, why can't we have nice things like this? Why can't our team, our management be as proactive and go for the jugular? Hmm. I still am ticked off that the White Sox finally stepped up and did the right thing by firing Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, but then they didn't close the deal by getting rid of Grifol with them. So it's not in their DNA to to be ruthless and show fans that you're serious. As far as Jason Benetti goes, I'll say up front, I certainly enjoyed listening to him. I thought he was very good. But I don't detect that Sox fans are as up in arms about his exit as most Score hosts would have you believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any Sox fans, as a matter of fact, who quit the team or will stop watching because he's gone. Quite frankly, I don't get the hand-wringing and the indignation. I'm old enough to remember, I go back as far as Bob Elson and Red Rush. Do you know how many Sox announcers that they've been, that they have been since then? I'm with Chris Getz. I like Jason Benetti. I wish him well, but his exit is way, way down the list of things that I hate about the White Sox, and I'm much more concerned with the team. I
hear you, Stan. Thank you for the call. I'm sure you're not alone. I'm sure that Score hosts and media folks who love Jason as a dude, if we know him, and we do, are more passionate about it than some portions of the White Sox fan base. I can tell you, though, that I know personally plenty of White Sox fans who are upset and are angry and are hurt by it. So it's not just Score hosts. But yes, we know him, and we also appreciate the medium and play-by-play, perhaps, a little more with more levels and more care. Obviously, I do. I did a podcast about it, and I'm writing a book about it. But, like, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Really what it is to me is just part and parcel of what has been, for about 3.5 years, a systematic removal of likability about the organization. a systematic removal of likability, beginning with the hire of Tony La Russa and how that was clearly received by his own general manager and what everyone had to say about it. And then all the different things that have gone on in between, some of them players brought upon themselves, obviously, and are not the fault of the organization. Some of it organizational choices and who they brought in, Mike Clevenger. You know, there are a lot of things along the way that have contributed to this systematic removal of likability. And the fact that this White Sox fan, who is your broadcaster and is beloved by a lot of people, if not you, just know that he's beloved by a lot of people and a lot of fans, was essentially pushed out or just decided he needed to find somewhere else to be a baseball guy. It doesn't sit well. I'm glad it's okay with you, or I'm glad it doesn't make the impact on you that it has made on others, because they will need you. That is for sure. This is Chip in Macomb on 670 The Score. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, Matt. Hey, quick question about the White Sox and their direction, because with Chris Getz coming in and saying what he has, all I've thought of is this is a group of different people saying the same thing we've been hearing year after year. The only way you're going to get any team to be fundamentally sound if you've had trouble with the current roster is to revamp the whole thing and bring in people that are better at doing the fundamental things, base running, fielding, whatever it may be. The issue I have, though, too, is I'm watching this organization just not do anything well. I mean, Chris Getz saying what he did about, I don't like this team. Yeah, nobody really did. I mean, he's not saying anything that nobody didn't believe to begin with. But we're seeing, again, different people saying the same thing, but in Getz, it's still under a Reinsdorf situation.
It definitely is, and I completely understand the learned cynicism, the learned pessimism that you and most people have. And that is something that they will have to overcome in the court of public opinion, and they'll do it by actions, right? There are some actions that are intriguing, and we'll discuss some of them with Chuck Garfine in a matter of moments. The assistant general manager is Josh Barfield. That's from the outside, Arizona. Good farm system. Good forward-thinking front office. The senior advisor to pitching now is Brian Bannister. Yes, he's the son of Floyd Bannister, so there are White Sox ties. But Brian Bannister's been with the Giants, been with a few other teams, a very, very forward-thinking guy, according to everyone in the industry. Gene Watson is the director of player personnel. Another outside voice brought in. Those three people working with Getz and under Getz. And then you've got the Paul Janisch, the director of player development, who just came in from Rice. And I know that people can look at Rice and say that it's not a behemoth of a program like Vanderbilt was or like Rice used to be. But Paul Janisch is a really interesting hire. There's four hires under Chris Getz who are not same old, same old. And so that gives you a moment, because they need a lot of people like that. A lot of people. They need to overhaul a lot of folks within the organization. I don't know how many moves are still to come, but I'm intrigued. I'm at least a little intrigued by that batch of moves. And a couple of the coaching staff hires, I don't know. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens with those. We'll discuss it with Chuck and see what he genuinely is excited about, what he genuinely is pessimistic about, because he's always honest about it. Thank you for your phone calls. We'll take a lot more phone calls in the 11 o'clock hour, and some maybe in the middle of the 10 o'clock hour, but we'll get guesty a little bit with Chuck Garfine and then Sahadev Sharma as we get deep inside the Cubs and Sox. A reminder to text me your visions of Ohtani. Visions of Ohtani, with all due respect to Bob Dylan. A moment in an imagined future game or a statistical accomplishment that he completes at Wrigley Field, that kind of thing. Text it to me all morning at 312-644-6767, and we'll do a segment in the 11 o'clock hour where I share those. All right? Okay. All right, the executive producer is Sean Sears. The associate producer is now free to move about the building. Ruben? Hey, buddy. You're free until 10:55, okay? He's saluting and signing off. And now we'll play video games on his phone for the next hour. wouldn't it be nice to be 11? You know?
I wish, man. I wish.
Yeah. His pay is being reduced by one third, though. I made that deal with him via text. Well, come on, man. You ask for time off. You got to understand what that means in the world. You really do.
True. We're teaching them, we teach real lessons here at the Score.
That, yes, we do. A job is a job. You're not going to work. You don't get paid, pal. Could be worse. You could be an intern. You know? We don't have those anymore.
We don't.
No. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Stick around until noon on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
I don't like our team.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yeah, it's certainly case to case. We're getting to know the landscape when it comes to both trades and free agency right now. And then you attack the offseason that way. It could be an offseason where trades are the best way to improve the organization. It also could be a combination of free agents in trade. So that's why we're here at the GM meetings to figure out what the landscape is.
That is Chris Getz, the new boss of the White Sox. And let me say this. Do you have the shorty where he says, I don't like our team? Sean, go ahead and play that when you get a chance. Because I'll say this. Overall, Getz's comments, they made me feel, if anything, better, not worse, as a White Sox fan. My goodness. Because how could you watch that team and like that team?
I don't like our team.
He doesn't like the team. Says it's not a well-rounded team. He is correct. That man is correct. Wait, Sean, where is the associate producer?
He'd take a quick bathroom break.
That is unacceptable. That is unacceptable. He just texted me asking if he could have an hour off.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
He's working hard back then.
No, I don't know. But, you know, but he's doing that. He's texting me from the bathroom. I'm going to text him back. Get back in here. I need you now. Need you until 10. Unbelievable. These kids today. My goodness. He thought he could just start then. Just start his break now. It's unbelievable. I'd like to apologize to everybody. Stan and Bellwood, you're on 670 The Score. I'd like to apologize for the associate producer thinking that he could just...
Right, I'm with him. When you got to go, you got to go, Steve.
Yeah, all right. There he is. Now he's back. Okay, Stan, what you got, man? How are you? Good morning.
Hey, likewise. Good morning. Nice diversion today. You know, we always like talking about baseball at every opportunity.
Yep, it's the best conversational sport of all time, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hey, listen, of the two major stories in Chicago this past week, the Craig Counsell to the Cubs resonated far more with me than the Benetti exit. The very first thing that I thought when I heard the news as a Sox fan is, you know, why can't we have nice things like this? Why can't our team, our management, be as proactive and go for the jugular? I still am ticked off that the White Sox finally stepped up and did the right thing by firing Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, but then they didn't close the deal by getting rid of Grafal with them. So it's not in their DNA to to be ruthless and show fans that you're serious. As far as Jason Benetti goes, I'll say up front, I certainly enjoyed listening to him. I thought he was very good. But I don't detect that Sox fans are as up in arms about his exit as most score hosts would have you believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any Sox fans, as a matter of fact, who quit the team or will stop watching because he's gone. Quite frankly, I don't get the hand-wringing and the indignation. I'm old enough to remember, I go back as far as Bob Elson and Red Rush. Do you know how many Sox announcers that they've been, that they have been since then? I'm with Chris Getz. I like Jason Benetti. I wish him well, but his exit is way, way down the list of things that I hate about the White Sox, and I'm much more concerned with the team. I
hear you, Stan. Thank you for the call. I'm sure you're not alone. I'm sure that score hosts and media folks who love Jason as a dude, if we know him, and we do, are more passionate about it than some portions of the White Sox fan base. I can tell you, though, that I know personally plenty of White Sox fans who are upset and are angry and are hurt by it. So it's not just score hosts. But yes, we know him, and we also appreciate the medium and play-by-play, perhaps, a little more with more levels and more care. Obviously, I do. I did a podcast about it, and I'm writing a book about it. But like, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It, really what it is to me is just part and parcel of what has been, for about 3.5 years, a systematic removal of likability about the organization. A systematic removal of likability, beginning with the hire of Tony La Russa and how that was clearly received by his own general manager and what everyone had to say about it. And then all the different things that have gone on in between, some of them players brought upon themselves, obviously, and are not the fault of the organization. Some of it organizational choices and who they brought in, Mike Clevenger. There are a lot of things along the way that have contributed to this systematic removal of likability. And the fact that this White Sox fan, who is your broadcaster and is beloved by a lot of people, if not you, just know that he's beloved by a lot of people and a lot of fans, was essentially pushed out or just decided he needed to find somewhere else to be a baseball guy. It doesn't sit well. I'm glad it's okay with you, or I'm glad it doesn't make the impact on you that it has made on others, because they will need you. That is for sure. This is Chip in Macomb on 670 The Score. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, Matt. Hey, quick question about the White Sox and their direction, because with Chris Getz coming in and saying what he has, all I've thought of is this is a group of different people saying the same thing we've been hearing year after year. The only way you're going to get any team to be fundamentally sound if you've had trouble with the current roster is to revamp the whole thing and bring in people that are better at doing the fundamental things, base running, fielding, whatever it may be. The issue I have, though, too, is I'm watching this organization just not do anything well. I mean, Chris Getz saying what he did about, I don't like this team. Yeah, nobody really did. I mean, he's not saying anything that nobody didn't believe to begin with. But we're seeing, again, different people saying the same thing, but in Getz, it's still under a Reinsdorf situation.
It definitely is, and I completely understand the learned cynicism, the learned pessimism that you and most people have. And that is something that they will have to overcome in the court of public opinion, and they'll do it by actions, right? There are some actions that are intriguing, and we'll discuss some of them with Chuck Garfine in a matter of moments. The assistant general manager is Josh Barfield. That's from the outside, Arizona. Good farm system. Good forward-thinking front office. The senior advisor to pitching now is Brian Bannister. Yes, he's the son of Floyd Bannister, so there are White Sox ties. But Brian Bannister's been with the Giants, been with a few other teams, a very, very forward-thinking guy, according to everyone in the industry. Gene Watson is the director of player personnel. Another outside voice brought in. Those three people working with Getz and under Getz, and then you've got the Paul Janisch, the director of player development, who just came in from Rice. And I know that people can look at Rice and say that it's not a behemoth of a program like Vanderbilt was or like Rice used to be. But Paul Janisch is a really interesting hire. There's four hires under Chris Getz who are not same old, same old. And so that gives you a moment because they need a lot of people like that. A lot of people. They need to overhaul a lot of folks within the organization. I don't know how many moves are still to come, but I'm intrigued. I'm at least a little intrigued by that batch of moves. And a couple of the coaching staff hires, I don't know. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens with those. We'll discuss it with Chuck and see what he genuinely is excited about, what he genuinely is pessimistic about, because he's always honest about it. Thank you for your phone calls. We'll take a lot more phone calls in the 11 o'clock hour and some maybe in the middle of the 10 o'clock hour. But we'll get guesty a little bit with Chuck Garfine and then Sahadev Sharma as we get deep inside the Cubs and Sox. A reminder to text me your visions of Ohtani. Visions of Ohtani, with all due respect to Bob Dylan. A moment in an imagined future game or a statistical accomplishment that he completes at Wrigley Field, that kind of thing. Text it to me all morning at 312-644-6767, and we'll do a segment in the 11 o'clock hour where I share those. All right? Okay. All right. The executive producer is Sean Sears. The associate producer is now free to move about the building. Ruben? Hey, buddy. You're free until 10:55, okay? He's saluting and signing off. And now we'll play video games on his phone for the next hour. wouldn't it be nice to be 11? You know?
I wish, man. I wish.
Yeah. His pay is being reduced by 1/3, though. I made that deal with him via text. Well, come on, man. You ask for time off. You got to understand what that means in the world. You really do.
True. We teach real lessons here at the score.
Yes, we do. A job is a job. You're not going to work. You don't get paid, pal. Could be worse. You could be an intern, you know? We don't have those anymore.
We don't.
No. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Stick around until noon on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
I don't like our team.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.